Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning to you, Grayson. How nice it is to be with you this morning, in this particular priestly way this morning. I've been with you several times over the last months, with you in the pews, and enjoying as I observe and support you and Father Gary, as you begin this new chapter of Christ's ministry through St. Andrew's Church. I'm particularly grateful to Father Gary for entrusting you to me and me to you this morning. While he and Casey and the kids enjoy a bit of much-deserved vacation. He's earned every bit of that vacation, my friends, because, you know, we kind of threw him in at the deep end of the pool, didn't we, last October? He has more than risen to the task. Delights. It appears to me that he's reveling, in fact, in every minute of his ministry with you, and that makes my heart glad. Well, as luck would have it, and the church calendar, of course, we're almost to the month of June and still celebrating Easter. It's the seventh Sunday of Easter, though, so I gotta check and see if you remember what to do. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
The training goes on. Very good. The greater 50 days do not conclude until next Sunday, the day of Pentecost. So once more, we have an Easter reflection and an opportunity for an Easter charge. When you go back and look at the readings again, there's lots of content. But one of the more important facts about those readings today is the chronology that they point to. We hear Jesus speaking two different times to his disciples and, of course, to us. In John's Gospel, after exhorting them to keep faith for several chapters, despite what's about to happen to him, you remember, arrest, crucifixion, and death, we hear him no longer speaking to them, but praying to the Father. And he's praying for them. It is a deeply earnest prayer. Some art has depicted Jesus sweating blood as he prays that prayer. And at the very end, he says, Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me. Why? So that they may be one, how? As you and I are one. I do not think there is any greater closeness anywhere than the closeness between God the Father and Jesus, God the Son. No greater closeness. And that's what Jesus prays for his disciples as he turns from them to his own crucifixion and destiny. By benefit of history, of course, we know the story and what happens next. It was a crucial thing that Jesus prayed so hard for those disciples because, as those of us who know the story, they fell apart almost immediately. And they were that way for a while. You want an example? Who said, I don't know the man? Who?
Peter.
I said, remember the chronology? Who's the author of that middle reading we just heard? Who's it say?
Peter.
He hit rock bottom, and by the grace of God, got pulled back together again as one of the preeminent ambassadors for Christ. Peter. He proclaimed Jesus he knew, not had known back in the past, while he's writing to those people and all that, to Jesus he knew, who endured suffering to show God's glory. Well, that's a strange concept, but that's how it works. And who encouraged his hearers to stay together, to be one. Well, thank you, Peter, for reminding us, showing us by your example, that there's forgiveness, that there's restoration, that there's fresh empowerment in the living Lord, Jesus Christ. And also, in the community, the church, that has learned to call itself the body of Christ. And it's to that community that Jesus points in his other words today to the disciples. In that reading from the beginning of Luke's second book, the book of the Acts of the Apostles, picks up the testimony to Jesus after those events of arrest and crucifixion, of death and resurrection. Having appeared to them numerous times in the 40 days, Jesus is now with them a final time. Those of you who were able came on Thursday and celebrated that time on the Feast of the Ascension. In that reading, it seems to me that it is with great love and perhaps a touch of excitement on Jesus' part, because he knows what's in front for them. He encourages them to look ahead, not behind. He says, soon you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you, the 11 of you sitting there, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We'll celebrate that next week. Great day of Pentecost. The takeaway for today, I think, is that we remember what it might have been like for the disciples, waiting and praying back in Jerusalem between the Ascension and the day of Pentecost. Takeaway today is one of unity, of one of community, of oneness in Christ Jesus, the risen Lord. Hallelujah. My perspective on St. Andrew's is different now than it was a year ago, obviously, but from my slightly detached posture of St. Andrew's, this is what I'm seeing among you as I'm able to be with you and your new rector, Father Gary, as you discover each other. It doesn't happen overnight, and it's not done happening yet. But as you discover each other's commitment to Christ, as you encounter each other's love of the Lord, and as you learn how to work together for the building up of God's kingdom in this particular place and at this particular time. The corner of Markley and Main, Greenville, South Carolina, 29601. And talking about togetherness and unity and taking care of each other, I have a short story from one of my favorite sources, who I probably pulled out half a dozen times in my previous times with you, to illustrate the often very basic level of how we can be with each other, both helpful and hindering, and how much help we need on a daily, hourly, minute-by-minute basis. I've read brief bits to you before from Carlo Coretto, a still-living Franciscan friar of Italian descent, living in a very small community, often has spent time in the desert. And he sees things and tells them in a way that I always enjoy, and I hope you do too. Carlo says, by way of encouragement, God tells us in Scripture, I will remove the stony heart from your bodies and replace it with a natural heart. Carla says, I'm still waiting, asking myself when and how this will happen. In our community the other day, there wasn't much coffee. Oh, and aside, there's great coffee at St. Andrew's now, courtesy of the coffee maven. We bought a pound of the Sulawesi last week. The darkest, blackest, it is fabulous. It is fabulous. But there wasn't much coffee in Carlos Refectory. Coffee does me good down here in the desert. It helps me. I'm old. I was worried about not having any, about spending a few hours feeling dull and weak. So without perceiving the evil I was doing, I went into the kitchen before the others and drank up all that was left. Afterwards, having suffered all day and made my confession, I thought in shame of my selfishness, of the ease with which I had excluded my two brothers from that black, bitter remains. It seems a tiny thing. Yet in that cup of coffee, taken and not shared with my brothers, is the root of all the evil which disturbs us, the poison of all the arrogance which selfishness, riches, and power creates. The difference between me and Jesus is right here, in an affair that seems simple but isn't at all. After a whole lifetime, it is still there to make you think. Jesus would have left the coffee for his brothers. I excluded my brothers. No, it isn't easy to live with hearts like ours. Let's confess it. And our need for continual help, strength, forgiveness, charity, and love. In the community and beyond, but particularly in the community to which we are all so drawn and for which we give great thanks. God bless us all.